Welcome to High School Football Live here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be with you here on this Saturday morning, and we're going to recap Week 8 of the high school football season in depth. Mostly last night's contest here on KOAL. Emory playing host to the Grantsville Cowboys. The final score in that one, Grantsville 27-7 over Emory, and a game that was really close, but turnovers plagued Emory as they dipped to 2-2 in league action. Grantsville, on the other hand, they improved to 3-1, and you couldn't write a better script if you're a Grantsville fan, because next week the Cowboys will have an opportunity to take home the 3A North crown when they take on the Morgan Trojans. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Let's start today's show off by going over the scoreboard from last night. And again, we mentioned it, Grantsville 27, Emory 7 in that contest. Zach Jorgensen for Emory completed 9 of 31 passes for 116 yards. Logan Cox runs 22 times for 99 yards, but he fumbled twice. The lone score on the evening for Emory, it came on a Zach Jorgensen quarterback sneak from the one-yard line. Now, Grantsville, on the other hand, they got it done defensively. They had two defensive touchdowns. They forced four turnovers in the second quarter, five for the contest, and they were led by Riley Smith on the ground. He accumulated 58 yards and a touchdown off of 15 attempts. Coy Johnson, kind of a do-it-all type quarterback, 5 of 15, 113 yards and two scores. Coy was fantastic last night, and Andrew Floyd had two catches for 100 yards to lead the Grantsville passing attack, and that's how the Cowboys got the job done last night over the Emory Spartans, again 27-7. Another 3A North action last night. Juan Diego eliminated the Carbon Dinos from playoff contention. Juan Diego scores 26 in the first quarter. They had 20 in the second, 17 in the second half, and they grabbed the 63-6 win. Again, for Juan Diego, they are led by Stone Azarcon. He has a touchdown last night on the ground, but Juan Diego spread the love around. Azarcon had one score. Connor Dumont had one score. And then Zach Hoffman and Ryan Baker added two scores on the ground. Through the air, Zach Hoffman, he also threw two touchdowns, one of them going to Gavin Scarucha and the other to Lucas Pino. And so Emory will see Juan Diego next week. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a bit. For the Carbon Dinos, the lone touchdown, it was Nate Olson. He had a 90-yard kick return. So even though Carbon continues to struggle, Nate Olson is the bright spot for the Dinos. He helps them avoid the shutout. Morgan eliminated Union from the postseason last night with a 37-21 victory. This game was close going into the second half. It was 28-14 at halftime in favor of Morgan, but they scored 9 in the third quarter to pull away from the Cougars, eliminating Coach Labrum's squad from playoff contention. Austin Francis accumulates 4 touchdowns on the ground last night, most of them in short yardage form. He had a 2-yard run, another 2-yard run, a 6-yard run, and then a 26-yard run off of a pass. So Morgan, using Austin Francis, they improved to 4-0. Next week, they take on the Grantsville Cowboys, and the winner of that game will claim the 3A North Championship. We take a look at the 3A South last night. Delta takes control of the number 2 seed as they defeat the Canyonview Falcons 21-12. We had Coach Robbie Robinson of the Canyonview Falcons on the show last week, and he said, "This is the biggest game of the year for us." Delta scored 7 in the first. They took a 7-0 lead into the second, a 14-6 lead at halftime. The game was scoreless in the third. Delta outscores Canyonview 7-6 in the fourth quarter to grab the win. Delta's been a lot of fun to watch. They have kind of a three-headed monster out of the backfield. Jake Day and Rhett Writing both score touchdowns for Delta in the victory, and now they are 3-1 in the driver's seat to grab the number 2 seed in the postseason. Juab defeats North San Pete last night 26-6. That'll make it very difficult for the Hawks to get into the postseason. This game was tied at the end of the first quarter at 6. Juab held a 13-6 lead at halftime, but they shut out North San Pete in the second half while scoring 13 more. The Wasps, who they were the odds-on favorite at the beginning of the year to win the 3A South, they get it done with basically on the ground. Two scoring touchdowns on the ground. Riker Osborne, the senior quarterback, he also completed a couple of touchdown passes towards the end of the game. He connected with Jakota Snow for a 28-yard touchdown pass. Also last night, the Manti Templars, they get their second league win of the season. They blast the Richfield Wildcats 45-14. It was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, 28-14 at halftime, and the second half belonged to the Manti Templars. Tanner Rasmussen has two touchdowns. Lance Fowles and Max Stevens each add one on the ground, while Marshall Dotson throws for two as well. Dotson, in his first year as quarterback for Manti, finally finding his rhythm. That's a recap of the 3A classification last night, week 8 now in the books. On the show today, we're going to talk to head coach Lauren Anderson of the Grantsville Cowboys. A huge victory for his team last night, and now they prepare for the Morgan Trojans. So we'll talk to Coach Anderson here in just a minute. Plus, we'll replay last night's post-game interview with Coach John Famala with the Emory Spartans. It's high school football live on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We're back after this. Welcome back to High School Football Live, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. We're going to talk about last night's high school football game here on KOAL in depth on today's show. Again, Grantsville topping Emory last night 27-7. That was a highly important contest in the 3A North Division, and we'll go over the playoff picture here in just a moment, which we know which four teams will be going to the postseason. We just don't quite know the seeding yet. Joining us right now to talk about last night's game, we have Grantsville football coach Lauren Anderson. And coach, it's great to get you on the show. I really appreciate the time today.
Hey, no problem. It's a pleasure to be here.
Coach, that was a fun one last night, especially for your squad. You guys, you found a way to get the job done defensively. This game was tied at zero with about 8 minutes to play in the first half. And then your defense stepped up. You guys had two defensive touchdowns, and that turned out to be the difference of the game.
Well, yeah, it's obviously always better to be on the winning side than losing side. It was a big game for both teams. And you're right, it was a real struggle in that first quarter, and then we were able to get some pressure on the quarterback and cause a turnover, and Connor Ware was able to take it back for a touchdown to get us on the board.
It seemed like throughout the entire night, you guys had a lot of success bringing Riley Smith around the edge, and he got a couple of clean shots on Emory quarterback Zach Jorgensen throughout the entire contest. In fact, I think a couple of those turnovers, if memory serves me correct, it was the pressure from Riley around the edge that caused those.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on getting pressure to the quarterback, and that's what we challenge the kids with. We typically bring extra guys to make sure we do that, and it makes it a little bit easier on our secondary. And we were able to come up with a couple big plays in the secondary due to the pressure we got to him.
Now, as far as the turnovers that you guys caused go, I mean, obviously that was the difference in the game, but also you played the role of a bend-but-don't-break defense. Emory had several drives last night, successful, efficient drives, but once they got in the red zone, it seemed like your defense really clamped down. What was the difference in playing from between the 20s opposed to inside the 20s last night?
Well, Emory's a really good team. We knew that going in. We knew we had a good challenge defensively, You're right. You know, they were able to move the ball, and it's tough to just stop them. We were able to control it between the 20s, at least slow them down, not give up the big play. But once they got in the 20s, we sell out a little bit more and get after them, and we were able to make a couple goal line stands. Could have been a whole different game, if we don't do that. We obviously had our hands full, and it was a big challenge, but our defense rose to the challenge for us.
Were you surprised that Emory comes out of the gate, and I believe they threw four consecutive passes to start the game? Did that shock you at all?
No, not really. I mean, they seem to have a decent passing game, and a lot of times at home teams kind of do that. They want to come out and really try to hit you early. And we're pretty good against the run typically. Like I say, we do a pretty good job defensively most of the time. And it's tough to run on us. And, obviously, if you're Emory, we're really game planning to try to stop the run because that's their forte as well. So, it's not really no surprise. We knew they'd get back to the run eventually.
Well, you guys forced five turnovers. Four of those five come in the second quarter. I talked to Coach Famala about this last night, and this is something that works for both teams or can work against both teams. It seemed like throughout the night there were a lot of long whistles, a lot of stand-ups, and I remember one play in particular. Coy Johnson, your quarterback, was stood up in the backfield, and I was waiting for the whistle. Didn't get the whistle, and Coy took a shot. Throughout the night, it seemed like that was the case, and you guys benefited for the most part from that. A lot of fumbles came on long whistles.
Yeah, we were able to force a couple turnovers, strip the ball out of there a couple times, But yeah, we were complaining about the same thing on our side, you know, as well. But kids were getting stood up and they're taking shots, and you know, there was even a couple times we had Emory kids picked up off the ground and the whistle has not blown, you know. And you know, it's tough for the kids, you know, they got to protect themselves somehow. That's the fear you have is somebody getting hurt. But the turnovers we did benefit from.
Yeah, without doubt. In fact, the unofficial stats from the broadcast booth last night, we had Grantsville with 5 first downs offensively, 221 yards moving the football. I mean, this was a defensive struggle throughout the entire game. These were 2 game defenses, and it seems like your offense just made the plays when they needed to. You guys have a dynamic back in Riley Smith. He broke a couple of big ones last night. So did Andrew Floyd. The speed on this Grantsville team, I mean, it's apparent when you watch him on film. It doesn't look nearly as evident as when you see you guys live. I mean, you got a lot of speed on this team.
Yeah, we feel like we have a lot of weapons. We were a little bit disappointed offensively. We felt like we could move the ball more consistently against Emory, and we didn't do that. They, you know, they were a lot better defensively and did a pretty good job on us. But you're right, we made a couple big plays. You know, Riley's been our workhorse most of the year, and you know, he's a good back, big strong kid with decent speed and hard to bring down. And you know, we did a good job making the big plays. We were disappointed we couldn't sustain drives. And like you said, we only had 5 first downs. That's kind of a testament to that, not us not being able to do that.
Coach, I want to talk about one more play in particular before we move on from this game. The score is 20-7. You guys are in a 3rd and 14 from your own 12-yard line. You had thrown a pass on 2nd down. It was tipped. It seemed like it floated in the air for an eternity, and somehow it landed safely on the turf. The very next play, you guys go to a pass once again, and you break off an 85-yard touchdown. It seemed to be the backbreaker at that point in time. Momentum was starting to shift, and you guys found a way to make a big play and steal the momentum.
Yeah, we were able to make somewhat of a goal line stand, but Emory finally got it in, and that was like the second one in that quarter. And then you're right, we thought we had the slant set up, and the outside linebacker made a great play and got his hands on it. We were fortunate that it didn't get intercepted. But then we came back, you know, 3rd and long, we ran a different route, and we were able to get a guy in the flat, and we had one good block by our receiver out there, and Andrew was able to take it to the end zone down the sideline.
Again, our guest right now is Grantsville football coach Lauren Anderson, as we talk about last night's game. Coach, this was a huge contest for both teams. For you guys, the idea of winning a region championship still exists. I mean, you guys have a tough task next week. You got to take on Morgan. Yet entering this game 3-1, I'm sure you couldn't be any more excited or thrilled with the way your team has performed in league play.
Well, that's right. Obviously, we told the kids last night, if we could have told you back in August we'd play for the region championship in the last game of the year, we would have taken that without blinking an eye. And that's what we were able to put ourselves in position to do. And obviously, Morgan's a really good football team. You know, they're probably the team, along with you, have the team to beat right now to win a state championship. But you know, we're gonna prepare and get ready to play and go up there and see what we can do.
Regardless of what happens this next week, you guys are in position nonetheless to, well, if you get some help from Emory, if you guys were to come up short, I mean, you guys are in position to host a home playoff game nonetheless. And I guess going into the season, you know, coaches talk about the 3 seasons, the non-league, the league, and the postseason. That's the idea, right, to get a home playoff game in round one?
Yeah, you obviously have some goals in mind. I mean, first you got to make the playoffs, which, you know, we're able to do, and then you obviously want to try to get a home game because it's, you know, a big difference to be able to play at home. Not to mention the opponent, you get a lower seed, you know, which in these 2 weeks it's not that big of a difference, but playing at home is big, and that's what we're trying to do. And we can go, you know, if we can go win, we get a piece of the region championship that's going to end up in at least a 2-way tie and a 3-way tie if Morgan or if Juan Diego is able to beat Emory. You know, I'm not sure how the tiebreaker plays out, you know, but just getting a piece of that region championship is a big accomplishment for these kids.
Have you begun to look at Morgan, Coach? What do you know about him?
Morgan's a really good football team. You know, they run the wing tee, bring a lot of power. You know, their power run game is really tough to stop. And they also can drive on some play action off of that because they're so good at running the ball. They'll play action and throw it for some big plays. And so it's a big challenge for our defense, and it's a big rivalry. Grantsville-Morgan's always been a big rivalry. They've been in some big games, a couple championship games, and, you know, it should be a fun atmosphere.
The one thing that stood out to me when Emory played Morgan, a game that I was able to call, and I got to kind of sit and dissect Morgan, you can throw the football on this team. Maybe a little bit difficult to run on them, but you can take advantage of the size on the outside, and especially with your guys' speed. Looking at it, Coach, you guys may have an advantage there when you have the ball on offense.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit susceptible defensively, like you say, and we think we do a pretty good job throwing the ball. We got to protect the quarterback, obviously, up front. They're really good up front. They'll present some problems keeping pressure off McCoy. But, yeah, we think we could have some success there.
So when it's all said and done, Coach, we go into the final league game of the season. I can't believe how fast this year has gone by. Assess the 3A North. How competitive is this region in comparison to years past? I know you haven't been a football coach for a really long time, but I mean, if you go back and you take a look at the way the 3A North has been designed since the realignment, it seems to me like this is one of the most competitive seasons that we've had.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. In the years past, back when Judge was in the league, Judge kind of dominated the 3A North and won a couple of state championships, and then Juan Diego was able to kind of set itself apart last year with it. But this year, Morgan got Juan Diego pretty good early in the year, and Morgan's a really good team. We played Juan Diego last week, and they're a really good team. We were able to hang in and give ourselves a chance late in the game, but couldn't quite get it done. We played Union. It was a close game going down the stretch, and the same thing last night. Emory's a really good team, and we had to play really well to get a win. It's really competitive and really tough, and we know the South is kind of the same way. Like I said, I think Judd's a little bit ahead of everybody down there right now, but there's three or four other really good teams down there.
Well, Coach, I think that a lot of people will share the sentiment. You can't help but root for a school like Grantsville this year. These kids have been through an awful lot, and yet somehow, some way, you and the coaching staff have found a way to motivate these kids, and they've been able to rise above. And again, they're competing for a region crown this upcoming Friday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The coaching staff has been fantastic. We've been able to stay together and stick together and really just do that for the kids. The kids deserve every opportunity. They've worked really hard. New emphasis was placed in the weight room the last couple of years, and they've been in the weight room almost every day throughout the last 2 years, year and a half. And they worked really hard. They deserve this chance. They were able to get through the adversity and come out okay. And now we're just focused on football, concentrating on football, and trying to become as good as we can and compete every night out.
Well, Coach, it was a heck of a performance last night. Congratulations on the victory. Best of luck as you guys take on Morgan this week in the league finale, and hopefully we can talk to you again as the playoffs get off and rolling.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Thank you.
Fantastic. That's Coach Lauren Anderson of the Grantsville Cowboys. Again, Grantsville 3-1 following their victory last night over Emory. They will now take on Morgan this upcoming Friday for the 3A North Crown. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll continue to dissect this game. When we return, we'll play last night's post-game interview with Coach John Famalo. He talked about the setback. It was a tough game for Emory. One of those games where you almost hate to see a loser because you had two squads just battling back and forth defensively. That's my kind of football. We're going to pause for just a moment. More High School Football Live coming up right after this. We are back on High School Football Live, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Last segment, we talked to Coach Lauren Anderson of the Grantsville Cowboys. Last night, we got to talk to Coach John Famalo during the Emory Medical postgame show. This was a tough one for Emory. The goal for the Spartans going into the season was to grab one of the top two spots. Now, technically, Emory still has an opportunity to get a home playoff game. Some crazy things would have to happen next week. They would have to top Juan Diego, and then you would have to have a loss for Grantsville, so Morgan would have to run the table in league play. But it's still a possibility for Emory. Nonetheless, last night was an opportunity for this team. Zach Jorgensen finished 9 of 31 through the air for 116 yards. He did have one interception. Emory really struggled inside the red zone, as we talked to Coach Anderson about that last segment. Here's our interview last night with Coach John Famalo during the Emory Medical postgame show. Coach, I appreciate you coming up today. Thank you.
Not a problem. Yeah, it's it is what it is.
That's a tough game. It's a tough loss to swallow. You look at the statistics of that contest. Grantsville only has 5 first downs that entire game. Defensively, you guys were very, very good. It just seemed like big plays here or there actually, you know, that was the difference in the game. I mean, four turnovers, I believe four of them in the second quarter, if I remember correct. Yeah. I think you can kind of point to that quarter to be the difference in the game.
That was. I mean, three of those four resulted in 20 of their points. And again, that's 20-0. I think it's, you know, at that point, for our first drive, you know, we get in the red zone, and again, we, for some reason, we kind of poop our pants or something, and we just can't get in the end zone. And we've got to get that figured out. But, you know, we move the ball. You know, again, we're always good between 20s and 20s when we get in that red zone. We've got to kind of struggle trying to find a rhythm and getting into the end zone. And, you know, we have plenty of opportunities. And, you know, credit them. You know, defensively, they kind of had our number on putting a little bit of pressure on Zach and, you know, rushing some things. But other than that, like you say, that second quarter, I'd like to have that second quarter back. It's a different ball game if we don't have those three turnovers. No, four, but three scores, honestly, off those four turnovers.
Seemed like in the second half, the team still played with a purpose. There was a chance, I know, right before Grantsville broke open, that 85, 86-yard touchdown pass, you guys had him third and long in a good situation. Yeah. The play beforehand, it was a tip pass that floated in the air. It seemed like forever. And if it's intercepted, it's bad. There's nobody even near that ball. But it just seemed like we were so close, Coach, in that second half. The kids still, they came out, they played the second half.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I hope they would be able to answer. You know, like say we had that first drive. And it's disappointing to have four downs, you know, within the 5-yard line, not getting in the end zone. That one hurt. You know, again, we got the ball back. We did eventually score, but, you know, in that fourth quarter. But, like you say, what if, should have, could have, you know, that's what I told the kids. You know, you can look at a bounce here, bounce there. It's a big difference in the ball game. But at the end of the day, you know, they got the win. We've got to move forward. We've got to focus on what we can still accomplish, and, you know, there's still some ball to be played.
I know it's fresh, and you haven't been able to review things here, but how similar is this loss to the defeat against Morgan?
I mean, the Morgan one, like you say, I felt like they dominated us, honestly. And so that one, it was like, okay, hey, we're in it. But, you know, at some point, I think they could have turned it on and maybe made a different ball game. That's what I felt like we could have done to them, but we just too many turnovers, too many mistakes, and we're just not that good of a team to be able to do that. And so, I mean, I think we dominated the line of scrimmage for the most part. I think we moved the ball. And I thought defensively, with the exception of the one big pass play on a third and long, and again, a great catch, and the kid, he was a pretty fast kid, got down the floor, or down the field. And, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say, but I don't know. I don't have very much to say, man. Apologize.
No, you're fine. I mean, it's senior night. You always want to go out. You always want to go out with a victory. And I know the good news is all hope is not lost. You guys still could potentially end up a number two seed. I mean, if things go your way next week, you got Juan Diego on the road. You know, this Grantsville team has a very tough game, and Morgan as well. And then it would be a three-way tie for that number two spot. So right now we sit in fourth place, Coach, but a win next week against Juan Diego, and who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. I think that's what we got to concentrate on next week, get Juan Diego, another good team. And I think, you know, hopefully that establishes in the playoffs that, you know, I don't think anybody wants to play us. You know, I think I feel confident about that, whether we're in that fourth place, third place, second place. You know, I'm hoping my team and the other people in the 3A North or South understand and know that, hey, we got a pretty good team. And, you know, if we ever put it together, and hopefully it's coming next week, that we can kind of get rolling back again and, you know, make some noise in the playoffs.
A lot of fumbles tonight.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy fumbles. We made the comment a couple of times in the broadcast booth that, and the officials, they were consistent with it, a lot of long whistles.
Yeah.
A lot of standing up. They let the plays go a little bit too long, I thought, a couple of times. And that's when fumbles occur. I mean, I could point to Tell's fumble on the kick return. It was a long whistle.
Yeah. No, and again, that's, we just got to do a better job of securing the ball. Again, if you're going to get extra yards, the times that you have those long whistles, you'll take that extra push in the pile. Mm-hmm. And when that long whistle goes and you got that push and it gets stripped out and you're on the defensive side, it's in your favor. And so, you know, it goes one way or the other. And so, you know, it almost seems like an opposite of what happened to us, you know, at Grantsville last year. It seemed like every bounce came our way, every play, every throw that we threw, you know, it was just, honestly, it was the exact opposite of the game that we had last year with them. And so, I mean, that's just, that's football. I mean, sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't, and you know, and that's why I told the kids, somehow we got to figure out how to battle through that adversity and get through it. And you know, I thought we did once we got to that first score, giving that big up, that big play, that, you know, that made, kind of pushed it over the edge of where we could get to.
Let's talk about the red zone woes here for just a second. I don't want to focus on all negatives because there were some positives tonight, but getting in the red zone and having a difficult time scoring, for you as a head coach, what do you want to see from your team? I mean, are you happy with the play calling in the red zone? Are you happy with the execution? Is that the defense making a bigger play than the offense? I mean, ideally in your mind, just off the top of your head from this game, assess that.
I mean, the biggest thing, I think, I mean, anytime you're within the five, you know, I think it's line of scrimmage. It's linemen being able to establish themselves. And, you know, that's where it's got to start. And so, you know, at some point those kids got to figure out, hey, you know, I'm going to take this as a challenge to punch this in. And as a running back, you've got to be able to smell that end zone and put it in no matter what it's at odds. I mean, defenses are going to make great plays, but the odds are in your favor. You should be able to punch it in. And so to have four plays down in the red zone within the five, you know, that one's a little disappointing. They made some great plays, but at the same point, I think we got to figure out, you know, the mentality's got to be, hey, nobody's going to stop us. You know, whether we run it inside, whether we run it outside, or whatever we do, we just got to be able to execute it. And that's honestly what it is. I think execution, and then just having that mentality to want to punch it in and score, especially when you get that close.
Yeah, I'm reminded of a sequence of plays that was down here to the right of us, and you tried to go to the outside, and they were there. You tried to go to the left side, they were there. Tried to go up the middle, they were there. I mean, defensively, Grantsville played a bend but don't break rule tonight.
Yeah, that's what I felt like. And, you know, they kind of, you know, played a style that we usually play. That I felt like, again, they'll give, and then when they got, when it counted, they made the stops that they needed to. You know, and you know, for our side, we just offensively, you know, we got to get better, and you know, we're game left in the season, and we still got a playoff game, so there's still something to be had, and hopefully the kids can keep their attitudes up and mentality to want to make some noise, you know.
Well, that is the main positive night. Despite a loss, the playoff spot has been clinched with Union and Carbon both losing, so that's something to look forward to as well. But now it's Juan Diego, right? I mean, that's where you turn your focus to.
No, and they're a very good team, an aggressive team. Again, they're a physical team, and you know, and I thought we would be a little bit more physical than this Grantsville team. And, you know, I give them credit. Their front was pretty good, and they brought a lot of pressure from different spots. And we struggled with that, trying to be able to pick up that pressure and then, again, making adjustments to our routes to kind of make sure we get the ball off. And so, you know, credit to them. But Juan Diego's a team that's going to do a lot the same to us, I think, defensively. They're going to bring a little bit of pressure, and, you know, their front is pretty good, so we got our work cut out for us.
Yeah, we several times tonight, Riley Smith, number 11 for Grantsville, he was able to come off the right side nearly untouched.
Yeah,
You start feeling bad for Zach after a little while because he threw, I believe, 31 passes Zach threw tonight. He was hit on a lot of those.
Yeah, he was rushed or hit, and like I say, number 11 from the edge, he had it timed, and he did a great job, and you know, we didn't make a great job of adjustments on that, and so one thing we just got to do better.
Well, Coach, still another week to get better. That's the good news here. And again, a playoff spot has been clinched. I do appreciate you coming up tonight and talking a little bit about the game. And, well, next week we'll prepare for Juan Diego. Last year, outplayed Juan Diego for about three quarters.
That's what I felt like. You know, I thought we played a heck of a game. I think we just ran out of steam. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I think that's one thing we've done better is keep kids fresh. And, you know, I think we can keep our stamina and continue to be physical and match their physicalness, we should be fine.
Yeah, everybody's always afraid of these academy schools.
Yeah.
I think mentally, hopefully the kids know they're as beatable as ever.
Yeah, no, I think this is the year. I mean, you look at it on paper and you know who they played. We watched them against again Grantsville. Grantsville kept it pretty close. But I thought, again, Grantsville got, you know, dominated, but, you know, there was a stretch there where Juan Diego kind of just tried some different things, tried to throw the ball, which I don't think they're real great at. And you know, if we can get a score or two up on them, I think we maybe can get them in a situation to throw the ball and maybe make some mistakes and, you know, take advantage of that.
Yeah, converted wide receiver over to quarterback and doesn't have a whole lot of experience playing the position, so.
No. But he runs the ball well.
He does. He can run the ball well.
He does run the ball well.
Well, we'll talk about Juan Diego a little bit later on in the week. Coach, thank you again for stopping by.
Not a problem. Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Again, that's Coach John Famalo last night on the Emory Medical postgame show talking about Emory's setback. They dipped to 2-2 in league play. We've got to pause for just a moment, but when we come back, we'll bring in one more coach. Matt Labrum of the Union Cougars will join us. Union fought hard last night against the mighty Morgan Trojans. They come up short, and they have been eliminated from the postseason. But we'll talk to Coach Labrum about the final 2 weeks of the regular season when we come back here on High School Football Live. We are back on High School Football Live, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We've talked to Coach Famalo, Coach Lauren Anderson, also the Grantsville Cowboys, and now we're going to talk to Coach Matt Labrum of the Union Cougars. Union battled last night against Morgan. Unfortunately, it was not enough. They fell 37-21, eliminating them from the postseason picture. Again, right now over the phone, we have Coach Matt Labrum. Coach, as always, I look forward to talking with you. Thank you for the time.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate all that you guys do for our sport and for these young men. What a great opportunity. So thank you.
Oh, it's definitely our pleasure, Coach. Let's start by talking about last night's game. It was a do-or-die situation for your Cougars. You guys take on the Morgan Trojans, the mighty Morgan Trojans, a very good football team. Hey, you guys were game last night. You actually pushed Morgan into the second half, and they knew they were in a football game.
Yeah, I was very proud of our young men. This game, they knew, you know, we've known we've had our backs against the wall the last 2 weeks, and we've practiced that way. We haven't got the result that we wanted at the end, you know, on the scoreboard, but just I couldn't be prouder of the effort these young men put in and what they're doing, and you know, we're becoming better each week.
As far as the progression throughout the season for this football team goes, I mean, I know that you guys are extremely young. You guys lost a lot of playmakers last year due to graduation. You guys knocked off Richfield earlier in the season. That's the lone win so far. But as far as progression goes, Coach, I mean, how much better is this team today compared to where you were at week one?
I'll tell you what, it would be nice to have this team where we're at now and go back and be able to play some of those games. I think there would be some different results, and that's just kind of part of what happens during the season. We're playing some young guys, and you know, those aren't excuses. We expect them to be able to play and make plays. That's why they're there. But you know, just the growth that we've been able to see. I think last night we ended up, I think we had 12 sophomores starting on one side of the ball or the other. You know, so we had some young people playing, and what I'm more pleased with is the senior leadership that we have and how they accept these young guys and you know, and try to help mold them and know where we're at trying to grow a future. And it's about our entire program, you know, a four-year process, not just 1 year at a time. And so just pleased with our overall where we're at as a program and the growth that we're having. Even though we might not be winning on the scoreboard, I think we're winning in life. So,
you know, that you mentioned those seniors, and that's the most difficult part about high school sports. I mean, Union, you guys are traditionally a very good football team. You're a mainstay come postseason time, and it hasn't worked out in that favor. These are seniors that they've been on the other side of the scoreboard the majority of their career, and now they're kind of taking a back seat as these younger guys gain experience. That's always so difficult for a kid that's been in the program for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, you know, it is, and they're all competitors, and you know, our goal is to get in the playoffs and do that. Nobody came in, you know, hoping we'd win one or two games or those types of things, but as the season progressed, you know, just we didn't get things going the way they were supposed to or, you know, how we wanted them to finish, but, you know, we've had a raft of injuries, probably more injuries this year than we've had in the 4 years combined that I've been here. But, you know, that those aren't excuses. You know, we just expect the next man to be up. But what I've been impressed with is those guys that are injured, a few of them are seniors, they're right there coaching the kid that's coming up through. And that's a testament to the program and the great young men that we have and what we're really trying to build is, you know, an overall program for years to come and try to build something that will last for a while.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Matt Labrum of the Union Cougar football team. Coach, in league play, you guys suffered a 28-10 loss to Grantsville, a 64-0 loss to Juan Diego, 29-7 loss to Emory, 37-21 loss to Morgan. A lot of these games that I was mentioning outside of the Juan Diego game, you guys were right there in these contests. Which one stings the most? If you look back and you say, you know what, that was our game to get a victory to set us up to potentially get to the postseason this last week against Carbon.
You know what? I think that first one with Grantsville right there, we knew where we were at, and we knew that was a big game. They knew it was a big game. You know, they're trying to get going with their season. We're trying to get going with our season. We were doing some really good things. We had a couple of really big mistakes. And then we just don't have a team that can overcome big mistakes. We don't have big play capabilities, you stated before, but you know, I wouldn't ever doubt our effort or those types of things. I think the kids play hard. We do those types of things and try to get us in the best situation. But I would say that Grantsville game was probably, you know, was a big one for us.
You guys have a unique opportunity now that the postseason is out of the question. You guys still have a chance to end your season with a couple of victories. And typically, there's only one team that can say that they end their season with a win, and that's whoever wins the state championship. For this young group, how important would it be to get a league victory against Carbon and then maybe grab a victory against Juab the last week of the season against a team that a lot of people peg as a 3A juggernaut this year?
Yeah, you know, of course you want to go 1-0 each week, and you know, we have the opportunity to try to do that this week with Carbon, and you know, I've seen some film on them, and they've got some skilled guys that present a threat, and you know, I think their coach has done a good job, and you know, in a tough situation they've been, you know, for the past few years. I like what he's doing, and it's going to be a tough game for us. It's going to be our senior night, and we want to send our seniors out, you know, with a special night. So we're going to come ready to go, practice, and get that taken care of. And then, you know, and then hopefully after that be able to, you know, go and play Juab well. And we do know that they're very, I think we've played them 6 times in the past 3 years, so we know them very well.
Let's talk about your offense here for just a second, Coach. As far as league play goes, you guys, you know, going into last night's game, you had only scored 17 points. What worked for you guys last night against a very stout Morgan team?
You know, we ended up starting two young quarterbacks this week. Both of our quarterbacks were hurt at the Emory game, both our senior quarterbacks, and neither one could play this week. And so we end up using two quarterbacks, Nate Foote, a sophomore, and a freshman, Lincoln Labrum. And, you know, and we kind of just talked to our older guys and said, hey, these guys are going to need some help, and we're going to need to be able to make plays. And I thought our line did a tremendous job of keeping pressure off the quarterbacks and open up some holes for some running game. And then we were able to make some passes and connect there. We had Gage Roberts had a phenomenal game and receiver. I think he had 9 catches for 140-something yards and a couple of TDs. And so, you know, it was great. And, you know, we rotated those first two quarterbacks there for a little bit. And then Lincoln caught fire, and so we kind of stuck with him and let him run at it. And he has a good arm, throws the ball well. And so I think we were able to have, you know, a little bit of a threat there that opened up. And then it was able to open up our run game, too.
Well, you've got to see every team in the 3A North except for Carbon up to this point, Coach. What do you make of this year and the competitiveness of this particular division?
Yeah, I think that's what's been fun is that there's not, I don't think there's anybody that's just out there, you know, going to destroy anybody, kind of like a Juan Diego last year and the Judge Memorial in years past. You know, I think it's a lot closer than it has been. It's fun to see. It's fun to be competitive, you know. I think, you know, it's fun to see the smaller schools do well. I'm excited for Emory. Obviously, we'd like to beat them, but, you know, they're doing some good things. Their team reminds me a lot of where we're at this year, where they were a couple of years ago, and, you know, I wish them well. But, you know, I think Morgan's got some good stuff going, and their kids have, you know, paid the price, and they're a big, strong team, and I haven't seen many teams in the other side, but I like our chances from our region to be on top. So.
We'll end with this, Coach. What do you tell your kids now over the next couple of weeks, knowing that that you can't get to the postseason, but you can bring a lot of momentum into 2017 with a couple of wins? How do you approach that as a coach?
You know, you just coach these young men, and hopefully you make good memories, and you know, when life really comes down to it, you forget about the scores and those types of things. You forget it. You remember how you felt and some of those things. And so we're trying to create good memories and just remember to, you know, to always prepare for things and build them for life. And we want them to go out and do good things afterwards. And we hope these last 2 weeks will be very successful and we'll be able to, you know, finish strong here, even though we're not going to be able to get into the playoffs. It is hard.
Well, Coach, like every other coach here in the 3A North, you're a true class act. I appreciate you taking out the time to join us and talk a little bit about your football program. Best of luck Friday against Carbon and as you guys wrap up the season against UAB. I appreciate the time today.
Hey, we appreciate you again. You know, appreciate the time that you put in. And it's just wonderful things that are happening for these young players and the opportunities that they get to be seen and get heard and those things. So we appreciate you. So thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Coach. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Again, Coach Matt Labrum of the Union Cougars. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll come back and we'll wrap up by taking a look at the playoff picture in the 3A classification right after this. We're back to put the final touches on this edition of High School Football Live. It's been a fun one, catching up with Coach Labrum and also Coach Lauren Anderson. And before we close things out, we'll take a look at the final week of league play, the schedule for this upcoming Friday. Carbon will take on Union. We just talked to Coach Labrum a minute ago. This game has no playoff implication. Both teams looking for their first league win. Both squads will have an opportunity to gain a little bit of momentum going into next season as far as league play goes. Start time in this contest is set for 7 p.m., like all contests next Friday. Also, we get Emory taking on Juan Diego. That's a huge game for Emory. They still have a chance to climb into the number two spot. It would take some doing, but they have to get a win against Juan Diego if they want that to be a reality. A loss for Emory means they are the four seed, and they would travel to take on JUAB in the opening round of the state tournament. And the other 3A North contest, Grantsville at Morgan. Huge contest there. That'll be for the Region 3A North round. Both teams right now controlling their own destiny. So that's an absolute huge contest. In the 3A South, we get Manti at JUAB. That contest is set for 7 p.m. It's a big game as far as the Manti Templars go. They're trying to solidify their spot in the postseason. And then Richfield will travel on the road to take on Delta. Delta has already clinched a playoff spot with a victory this past weekend against the Canyon View Falcons. So the way the standings sit right now, Morgan is at the top of the 3A North at 4-0. Juan Diego and Grantsville both 3-1. Emory at 2-2. Union and Carbon eliminated from postseason at 0-4. In the 3A South, JUAB is 4-0. Delta is 3-1. Manti 2-2, tied with Canyon View. Now the Falcons have not clinched a playoff spot just yet. They will take on North Sam Pete Thursday, 7 o'clock kickoff. The winner of that contest basically solidifies, if Canyon View gets one, they solidify a playoff spot. If North Sam Pete gets a win, things get a little murky. So that's where we're sitting as far as the 3A high school football season goes as we reach the end of the regular season. It's always fun to join you here in the 11 o'clock hour on KOAL 107.39 FM and also 750 AM, also streaming at CastleCountryRadio.com. Again, I want to thank Coach Lauren Anderson, Coach Matt Labrum, and Coach Famalo for taking time to make today's show possible. We will catch you next week. Do not forget about Drive Time Sports, Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on KOAL. We talk everything from local to national to regional sports. We've had some great guests. Evander Holyfield was recently a guest on the show. And if you missed that interview, you can catch it at CastleCountryRadio.com. And of course, myself alongside Chris Winfrey, we'll be back on Friday as we bring you Emory Spartan football on the road as they take on Juan Diego. That'll do it for us. Have a very safe weekend. Utah Ute football coming up tonight at 8 p.m. The Utes will take on Arizona. Following My Side of the Universe, Frank Dolce, Bill Riley, they'll bring you the play-by-play call. Have a great weekend. I am out.